All right, welcome to a very special edition of the Horse Racing Happy Hour.
Oh, yeah.
Louie's back.
It's true.
It's Holy Thursday.
It's also true.
I had some weird old man wash my feet about 2 hours ago, and now I'm going to talk about shaving my balls.
Also true.
All these things are real true. And maybe we'll talk about some horse racing along the way.
Also,
you also missed it. We took a vote last week with Piazzik and Illman.
Oh.
And we are talking baseball on the show now, too. So.
Oh, man. I see Johnny P drops in, and that's two Yankee guys, by the way. Is that baseball or is that the Yankees? You're a Reds guy. Oh, I'm asking questions.
The Reds killed it today. That's all I know. The Reds got off to the perfect start today, winning.
Is there anything better than new pitcher announces opening day starter, goes out six scoreless?
He's great, man.
Nothing better than that. No, they showed up.
And if people don't know, I think if you don't know, then you don't follow Louie at all. But Louie hosts a show on ESPN Radio locally, which technically is supposed to cover the Reds, and they didn't carry the Reds game today. I don't know why. It's like you hired a new basketball coach and no Reds on the radio coverage.
Reds are on the radio.
Opening day is a big deal in Cincinnati. I think actually the basketball coach would have rather watched the Reds game than give his little speech. He's a big Reds fan.
Well, the thing,
Pat Kelsey and I need to go to a Reds game. Let's go,
Pat Kelsey on a Thursday. I actually agree with that.
Yeah.
You do need to go to a Reds game with him.
Pat and I need to go to a Reds game. Let's go.
I mean, look, we actually are in talks to figure out how you host a weekly Reds show.
Yeah, let's do it.
At 680.
I want to, man.
I got the Kentucky Racing Spotlight. We're doing that on Thursday, Friday. That's a thing. You, though, drop in Tuesday night, show, let's go.
With the Reds as the affiliate, they'll supply us with all kinds of guests and everything else. Maybe I get some media credentials up there. Man, that'd be sweet. I actually did buy.
You and Joey Votto hanging out for no reason.
Joey Votto's in Toronto, unless they cut him. I didn't actually check.
Hanging out with Joey Votto.
I would love that. Well, and speaking of that, we're going to have Joey Votto's little brother on the show today.
Matty D!
Matt Timmerman is coming on. We're going to find out how he did today against the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. But I think it was like, I actually bought my Bats mini season ticket pack.
How about that?
I wanted that Muhammad Ali bobblehead, man.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Not even the Ellie DeCruz.
No, but minor league baseball, going in person undefeated.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's like going to the track. Honestly, like those two things, baseball game in the summer, track like spring, fall.
Yeah, love it.
All the time.
So we got a lot of stuff that we can talk about. Some of it's horse racing related. This is not on the show sheet, so
I'm stunned. I'm stunned that you're not using things that I spent hours putting together.
Our friend, man, Kevin Kilroy.
We could absolutely talk about that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's coming to the Ville. So I'm celebrating him.
Whoa!
Oh, little Kevin Kilroy.
What you know about that, Kilroy? You know?
Putting the hat on. Showing some
now
Kilroy
love. Now you have to
love.
Shower in it, make love in it, sleep in it, like all the stuff. That's Kevin Kilroy.
Yeah.
Hat 24 hours a day.
Putting the hat on for Kevin Kilroy.
That's great.
I'm wearing my new shirt.
Oh yeah.
You know?
This is a Manscaped show.
Oh, it's over here. We got the wrong side.
Left man boob.
Your balls will thank you.
Your balls will thank you. That's true. So, as a person who's tried the stuff, that is true.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
There you go.
I tried every single one of the products.
You know what's interesting? Like Nyra has their people, right? Yep. Wolf and Dale and Andy and those guys, right? They have their team, right? They've got their people. Gulfstream's got their people. Brian's down there. They've got Claudia on the Spanish side. But man, the Churchill team, like when I moved here, Jill Byrne was doing the paddock stuff, right? And now they have, obviously Joey's on there, and then Caitlin's in there. And by the way, I've done this on the show, but I want to do it again.
Talk about how amazing Caitlin Free is. Go ahead.
No, but I made the mistake of doubting her ability to develop and become a better, and she's way better.
Okay.
Yeah, she's awesome. So.
We should have Paul LeDuc on today, man. We messed up. I mean, we do.
Probably busy.
We got Joey Votto's little brother.
The track announcer in Oakland. What else? I love how you get mad about the booking after the show starts.
I just thought about that. We should have had Paul LeDuc on.
Thank you for doing the booking.
We did great. Great baseball talk at the Indiana Derby with Paul LeDuc on the show. It was fantastic.
It was great.
Yeah, he's incredible.
He's the best. Yeah.
Yeah. I just love
it. Sure we'll see him again in July. By the way, shout out. Got our notice from Horseshoe. We do have some events coming up.
Yeah, we got, if you want to come out and smoke a cigar with Louie and I, I'm going to miss my meeting here at work.
You're damn right you are.
And we're going to be out at on Bardstown Road at J. Shepherd Cigars.
Yeah, that's April 23rd, but April 30th, Tuesday of Derby Week, so 5:00.
Are we going to go in chronological order or not? Or just
Tuesday.
Oh, all right. 5:00 Tuesday.
It's our Derby seminar. And it's Derby 150, so we're going to blow it out.
That blind squirrel, right?
A little blind squirrel. How about that? There you go.
So there it is.
Inside of Louisville, if you happen to be in town for that, Hit us up at Horse Happy Hour. Horseracinghappyhour@gmail.com.
At night, or are we doing it during? Okay, we're not doing your during your show.
I'm doing the show.
Yeah.
And then our guy, Chet Mays,
yeah,
who sponsors this show, is going to be out there with his company. I'm going to go hang out, do some handicapping with them for a couple hours, and then we'll go do the show.
Nice.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Nice. I'm going to see, though. I don't want to announce anything on the show. You're too tired that day.
Which day?
Thursday.
What about it?
Are you going to stay out there all day Thursday?
Yeah.
I was wondering if... I got to run some things by some people.
Mike, though. You're the only one that leaves in the middle of the race.
No, okay? I've got to
Louis and I
put on
last year at 30.
You're the guy who drives the whole day. In Maryland and it's like Black Eyed Susan. Great shoes don't really do it for me. By the way, Black Eyed Susan evening, we are working out the details, but we'll be at Jimmy Seafood doing a seminar as well. A
little handicapping there, too. You know, and that one will include Baffert.
We got to get him out there.
Who? Get Baffert, see if he'll come out, just show up for a little Jimmy Seafood.
Little Jimmy Seafood with Bob Baffert, why not?
Oh, yeah, who knows?
Two shots of Bob the night before the Preakness, let's
supposedly
go.
Supposedly he's in Oakland, we'll see.
Per sources.
Per sources.
Jimmy's in the Arabian Peninsula, Bob's in Arkansas, per sources, in a group text with Mike and me tonight.
That has been what we're...
What happened to this show? Say. It's so stupid, though. I love it.
I love this show. Hey, so we actually, we had our first couple 100-point races.
Oh, yeah.
You were there. Did you stick around for the Ruby?
I wasn't there. We had academic team, man.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
But you were there the day before, right?
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I
saw that horse the day before schooling.
Yeah.
I mean,
what do you think?
Endlessly is impressive.
So, I mean, I was literally watching.
That's a really legitimately impressive 3-year-old.
And I guess I shouldn't give these takes before we see the replays.
Sure.
But we can go ahead and let's start with the Louisiana Derby, Zach, whenever you got it up. But I think the, there it is. Let's go ahead and we're going to watch the Louisiana Derby here from about the top of the stretch.
They're a neck apart as they turn for home. Antiquarian is sweeping outside of Tuscan Gold. Then toward the inside, Awesome Ruta. Hall of Fame down there with the rail. Catching Freedom is unwinding on the extreme outside to the final quarter of a mile. And it's Common Defense toward the inside. Track Phantom determined. Track Phantom sticking that neck out. Just holds Common Defense. Moving up Tuscan Gold. And here comes Catching Freedom, who's charging for Flavian Pratt. They come past the 16th. Last to first. It's Catching Freedom to win the Louisiana Derby.
All right, thanks to NBC for our replay there, even though I don't know if you know who gave it to us or not. But...
Look, at this difficult time in our country's history,
yeah,
is it not wonderful to have a horse named Catching Freedom win the Louisiana Derby?
It's fantastic. The reason why we didn't show you the whole race is because our show would have been over by the time that race would have been over.
Every Derby prep, except for the Jeff Ruby. How about that?
Well, that's what that was going to be kind of my point. Like when you, and number one, Catching Freedom going to the Derby is fantastic for the Derby 150.
I feel good for Brad Cox getting, you know, that's a small operation. It's good for them to get a start.
Well, I do want him to win one legitimately.
He's told us that for sure.
I know he feels the same way. Yep. That's not throwing shade.
Oh, that's from his mouth. Yes, that's right.
But at the same time, like, Catching Freedom had a nice little kick going at the end, looked strong, can go the other extra distance, no doubt about it. That time was extremely slow. I can't believe, like, even with the pace that slow, that a closer came from last to first to win that race. And the Derby, are you going to navigate 20 horses to do that? I mean, we've seen closers win recently, Louis. And it used to be a closers race all the time, but we also always have rabbits in the race.
Yep.
I'm just going to be shocked at that if there is a closer in this one. There just is no speed.
It's all closers, though. So the closer that's willing to sit up closer to the pace is going to win the Kentucky Derby, man. The other option is this, and I think it's underrated. How well does Hades run on Saturday in the Florida Derby? Because he's a front runner.
Yeah,
we're going to find out. If he gets slow fractions at Churchill Downs, he can win the Derby. I really think that.
Is it Dossler the person who can take their closer and turn him into a stalker?
Maybe. Yeah. That's what I just said. I mean, like, if someone's able to press instead of being a deep closer, it's hard to get three-year-olds to do that, though, man.
Yeah.
Change your style like that, like race to race, especially in a 20-horse field in front of 200,000 people. I mean, that's a different ask, man.
Louis tried to get three-year-olds to do lots of things, so he does have four kids. All right, so on to the Ruby Stakes. Let's watch Endlessly's performance here in the Ruby.
Best. He swings one from the outside. A ton of momentum at the top of the lane for Endlessly. And here he comes with his run. Endlessly makes his move at the eighth pole, and he has come away with the lead. Endlessly storming home. And look at him. Endlessly is free and focused in the Jeff Ruby. And he's a powerful winner.
That's a beast of a performance by Bear Louie. I thought he looked amazing. I mean, I've underplayed the Jeff Ruby Stakes the last couple of years. Jeff Ruby Stakes has shown up the last couple of years. And I think this horse looks better than anything we've seen come out of the Ruby Stakes.
Son of Oscar performance as well. And so I think, and I just had this conversation with someone, it screams turf.
Yep.
Because of who the sire is. But his progeny run well in dirt, man. And so I'm not at all sure that I would rule him out of the Kentucky Derby altogether. Here is the one person I would call if I were Mike McCarthy and I were trying to figure out what to do. Trainer Mike McCarthy, sorry. Trying to figure out what to do with this horse.
Tell me.
His name is Brian Lynch.
Okay.
And he's an Aussie who lives here, trains at Churchill. And I interviewed him last summer when there were track issues. They had moved the meet to Ellis and all that stuff. And I said to Brian, how bad is the dirt course? How bad is it at Churchill Downs? He said, there's no problem with the dirt course. They're just being overly careful. And frankly, he thought.
Well, we thought so too.
But his point after that was, it's a really fair dirt course, even for turf horses.
Oh.
It is. And so I thought in that moment when Endlessly won the Ruby and they said, oh, he's a turf horse, we need to keep him. I thought, what are the two tracks? And I'm not kidding. The two dirt tracks that play, seem to at least, two of them, whatever list it is. I don't want to do that right now. But that play well to turf horses as well. Churchill Downs and Pimlico. We watched Rombauer come off the El Camino Real Derby and win the Preakness a couple of years ago. Why couldn't Endlessly go do that? So this is the kind of question that I have for the ownership and for Mike McCarthy. Like, I get it. The Derby is whatever as far as number of horses and just the press of the race. And a lot of horses go to the Derby and they're not ready and they are exhausted at the end and they're done. Whitmore finished DFL, man. I think it's worth finding out if this horse wants to be on dirt. If he doesn't, then pull him up and take him to the next race.
Sure.
Cares? Took Shaw the Derby's $5 million race. What are we doing?
We talked about this before. We're going to get lots of great mile horses out of this. We're going to get some good turf horses. We just might not get any good.
Agate Road's going to be a great turf horse.
Yeah.
Great turf horse, period. Endlessly's going to be a great turf horse. Absolutely. But right now, when you're three, run the damn races, man. Run the ones that have the biggest purses. Try it on dirt. You don't know until you try. Oh, he doesn't like it in the morning. He's running. It's like 49s and 101s. The numbers are not bad in training. They're just not.
Especially with this field.
Also.
Yeah.
He looked, I'm sorry, have we seen a better prep than that?
No, I haven't.
I haven't. And so, no, that stuff, sorry, didn't mean to yell, but no, it legitimately bothers me.
So how do you really feel?
So there you go, Mike McCarthy. You need to call your boy Brian Lynch.
Ironically, they still have, there's a chance, I guess, that this horse goes the American Turf on Derby Day instead of the Derby.
I'm
with you, though, man. I mean,
I think the horse is staying here at Turfway.
Yeah.
To train. So.
El Camino Royal Derby winner, Endlessly. But fits the mold, right? I mean, when we talk about races, a two-year-old race well as a two-year-old, win 3 out of 4. Actually, kind of funny, the thing that he didn't come in was the turf race, Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. He didn't place. And then he's undefeated as a three-year-old with that 100-point race on his back pocket. He kind of fits the mold of
the old school. Dude, if you were talking about the old-school model.
That's it.
The horse that ran to the Breeders' Cup didn't work out, developed well as a three-year-old. And by the way, do you think at all of the Golden Gate surface as similar to the Turfway surface?
Probably not.
No. So the horse is already winning on multiple surfaces. One on the grass at both Santa Anita and Del Mar. Ships up to Northern California, Golden Gate, wins that race. Ships to Kentucky and wins that race. Why the hell wouldn't you try the dirt?
And by the way, we talked about that horse closing. And yeah, the horse was seventh going into the stretch and then got to the lead, though, at the top of the stretch. Right. But really was never outside of that front pack. I mean, that's the stalker.
Yes.
That can go ahead and do this. I'm with you, Louie. Like, I'm not sitting here and saying that this horse is going to win the Kentucky Derby. I'm not going to be surprised if he does. I'm not going to be surprised if he finishes in the top four.
No. Go get a check. But if you want to be 4-5 in the American Turf, have at it. I guess that's one way to live.
You know what? If the turf's still your race, you're going to be able to still qualify for a Breeders' Cup.
Oh,
turf. Yeah. Just, no doubt about it.
Of course, yeah.
No doubt about it. So, all
right, well, hey, big day for the show.
Okay.
We got a big sponsor.
We got a big boy sponsor.
And we're
look, I mean,
and here's the cool part is you've known me, Mike, for a long time.
I kind of want to go put on the Kia hat along with this.
We did the Kia thing last year.
Yeah. Didn't really work out.
And then Forte scratches.
Yeah.
Okay. People don't know. We did a nice, frankly, amount of work for the folks at, I won't mention the agency, but for the Kia folks.
Yeah.
And then, I said to Mike, it's probably time to stop selling the podcast. We need to just be ourselves.
And guess what happens?
And then I get an email from Manscaped.
Yeah.
And here we are. So check them out, manscaped.com. I think everybody knows what they do. Mike and I have different experiences. We'll get into those in a minute. But hey, shaving your jewels, folks, doesn't have to be risky business anymore. So thanks to our friends at Manscaped, all three of us have tried it out. The Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. I thought I knew what these shaving things were, what the actual mechanisms were. This is way better than anything I've ever used. Mike, go ahead and touch this cheek. I shaved
your face with it?
I did my face.
Wow.
With the attachment.
I shaved my son's legs. Is that weird?
No.
Okay, good.
No, it's for martial arts, right?
Yeah. He needed to tape up. And
no, it's actually a good example. Yeah. You can use it for lots of stuff. Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, check them out. Our promo code is happy hour. Horse racing. My God. Our promo code is horse racing. Horse racing. And so make sure, man, got the heebie-jeebies if you're nervous about this stuff. I did a couple's date with this thing the other night.
Yeah.
It turned out great. If you need
did your wife
it,
find out?
Don't let her know. But no, I mean, if you need to keep it fresh, if you're dating, you're out in the world, definitely something that you need to keep up on. I know you tried this.
What's
out.
Up with the midget?
There's also LED lights on these things.
There is. There's a headlamp or whatever.
20% off free shipping. Use our code horse racing, all one word, manscaped.com. 20% off free shipping with horse racing at manscaped.com. Show your balls some love and feel free as a dove. All right. Get Matt Dinnerman in here in a minute. I wanted to do that before Dinnerman. Even us being shirtless, he almost didn't come back on the show.
Are we going to make him very uncomfortable though or not? I mean, yes, right?
I'm not planning to. Oh,
man.
You just made an M-word reference, which I'm also very uncomfortable with. But
that's a movie quote. Rodney Dangerfield.
I'm very aware of 55 years ago or whenever that movie came out, that was a funny thing in the 1970s or whenever that movie
The John Mulaney bit about it is pretty funny too, though. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah, so. He's funny.
Yeah.
So there you go. Horse racing, 20% off, get your free shipping. The stuff too, by the way, you talked about it, like getting the shaving stuff and all that. Yeah. This worked though, man. Just the normal. It's awesome.
Now, can I ask you a question? Did you get the foil?
That's what I used to do my face.
Did you?
Yep.
I don't have that in my box
for
some reason. Right. I don't know what that is. So,
okay.
Because I was looking for it. But I actually, the nose hair trimmer was.
Like, oh, that's right. For you, fantastic, right?
Yeah.
I don't need that. I don't have that.
No.
But I know for a lot of men, they do.
Yeah.
I have two words for you. Ball deodorant.
That thing, by the way, was amazing.
This is life-changing.
Poor guy. He said the green.
Right as
life-changing.
On, here's ball.
Dude, deodorant. I have a separate deodorant stick I keep in a drawer for the down there. And I was like, finally, somebody's giving me like a lotion, a scented, like this is what I want.
It smells amazing, too.
It does smell amazing. It
smells amazing. I've used everything in the box.
I know. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all very good. Use our promo code HORSERACING, 20% off, free shipping. Let's get him in.
And when we say ball deodorant, we mean bring on Matt Dinnerman.
No, we don't. We don't.
No.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Good. I just put on deodorant, like what, at least in the last half hour. So glad I could continue that trend.
There you go. All right. A little deodorant talk on a Thursday. Why not? Well, hey, you know Matt Dinnerman. He's at 3ColtsHandicap on Twitter. Go find him there, of course, at Oaklawn Racing if you need to follow Oaklawn and aren't doing that yet. Great notes about scratches and different things, weather updates, so that you don't have to find out all that information in different places. Nice, easy resource there at Oaklawn Racing or at 3ColtsHandicap. You're taking videos of horses schooling for a grade one, Matt. How does it feel? Because honestly, man, I know Mike feels the same way. Getting to know you at Golden Gate and now obviously the big move to Arkansas. This was one of those moments that we talked about, though, when you took the job, was calling a grade one, calling a qualifier, 100-point race for the Kentucky Derby, 100-point race for the Kentucky Oaks. You getting nervous, or is this, hey, I'm Matt Dinnerman, I'm going to show up on Saturday and dominate?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about that is, like, the more that you think about it, I think that it doesn't necessarily help you from a mental standpoint. I think, you know, this job, there's stresses, there's pressure. So you have to know how to deal with that. And the key is saying, you know what, at the end of the day, whether there are 10 horses in for five or 10 horses in a grade one, the difference is the grade one horses are a little bit faster than the $5,000 claimers. So that's how I look at it. And I'm excited. I mean, I'm very excited. It's my first grade one, but I try not to think of it that way. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm sure tomorrow night, that's for me, that's always where the most stress comes in, because you're thinking about a big day and I wonder how this is all going to turn out. But then once game day rolls around, I'm ready to rumble, and I'm sure I'll feel nervous when they're warming up. That happens a lot when they're warming up. But once they go in the gate, I'll be ready to rumble and I'll give it a good call, hopefully. And You know, at the end of the day, it's about the horses and the athletes on the track. So just narrate it and have fun, you know.
It's going to be a big day. You got three great stakes, four stakes overall. I mean, big, big day down there in Hot Springs. And, yeah, we're just excited for you. By the way, I was in San Francisco a couple weeks ago. I know you listen to the show all the time. And but I got to drive past Golden Gate. So I shed a little tear. Look for the rubber duckies. Didn't see any.
No, they're all with me now. They're all with me now. They're here in the South, the middle of the South. So
there you go.
Love it.
All right. Matt Dirdeman with us, Three Colts Handicap on Twitter. Make sure you check him out there. Look, I wanted to ask your sort of general thoughts, Matt, on the Derby field to this point. We were just watching the Ruby from last weekend and, of course, the Louisiana Derby. We're seeing a lot of closing this year from our Derby contenders, Matt. Obviously, Hades is going to go Saturday in the Florida Derby. Might be the best shot we get at a pure front runner in this kind of field. Do you think we'll get a similar kind of race on Saturday? And your sort of general thoughts on the Derby field at this point?
Well, it certainly doesn't look like a race that's producing a ton of early speed. I mean, I think Muth, knowing how he is, he's going to be out there. Whether he, you know, wins the race or not, that has nothing to do with the Kentucky Derby this year for him personally. But I think that there are horses in our race, like a Time for Truth, even Mystic Dan, horses that have tactical speed. Maybe they're not true front runners like a Muth, but they can at least make things interesting, oppress a horse like him. So I think it's one of these races where you've got horses that are tactical. They have the ability to be close if they want to and still run effectively, but they're not super speedy types. And Muth has settled in his races before, so he can settle. But I would imagine with not that much genuine speed, he's going to be sent out of the gate to try to wire this field here.
Absolutely, man. So what do you like about the rest of the day that you got going on?
Well, I mean, first of all, just being able to see the on-track presence is going to be fantastic. It'll be something new for me. Keep this in mind. Put this into perspective. There's about 38,000 people populating Hot Springs. There's supposed to be 60 to 65,000 people at the track, if not more. So I was telling someone in the parking lot today, I actually saw a jockey, Harry Hernandez, in the parking lot, and I said, put this into perspective. I said, just think about every single human being that lives in this town and then pretty much double it, add a person, and that's how many people are going to be on track. I mean, there are tents in the infield all over the place they're setting up. So just to be able to call in an atmosphere like that is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be packed. It's going to be a celebration of horse racing. But we've got an all-stakes late pick four for the bettors out there, of course, races 9 through 12. It starts out with the Oaklawn Mile, $500,000 grade three going a mile. Then you've got the Matron Stakes for Philly and Mare Sprinters going six. The Fantasy, a grade two this year. It's been upgraded $750,000. And then finally, the Arkansas Derby to end that all stakes pick four. So we're going to have a middle pick four as well, a middle pick five. So we're actually going to have four pick fours on the wagering menu, three pick fives on the wagering menu. And it's going to be a long day. Starts at noon, ends at about 7:30 our time, but it's going to be a fun day with really good quality races.
So Matt, you mentioned some of those other races that are in, you know, in on the card, the Oaklawn Mile, for example. We'll go ahead and pick your brain about that one. Kind of an interesting mix of horses that love Oaklawn, others that are shipping in for it. Whenever you put up $500,000, horses are going to show up. Have you adjusted to having multiple finish lines and try to get used to how the races develop that way?
I definitely have. And the good news is that when we have multiple finish lines, the only time they ever end at the 16th pole is when we're running a mile. So that makes it easy. Mile, 16th pole, finish. Any other race on the program, at the regular finish line. So that makes things interesting, but fun, and it makes it easy for me to remember. There's a giant yellow, beautiful finish line sign at the 16th pole that they post. So I always say it in the post parade when I'm announcing the field is coming on the track, not only so all of the fans understand it, because I can't tell you how many times you've got these fans that are standing at the finish line, the real one, for every other race, and they're cheering, and I'm like, no, the race is over already, you know. But it also reminds me personally, like, hey, just a friendly reminder, Matt, this race is ending at the 16th pole. So I've adjusted to it. I have a nice TV that's a 16th pole tower shot, so I'm so far off the line there, I wouldn't be able to call a photo. Right. But now that I have that TV, I can. And it's actually easier to call a photo at that line than it is the regular one, because the regular one, eyesight wise, I'm actually ahead of the finish line. And there I get a TV shot where I'm right on the finish line. So
how did Matt Dinnerman adjust to actually having seasons? Like winter, spring. You probably
not just Reigns a club.
Yeah.
I was a soldier out there. I was all for trying this. I mean, it was 20 degrees outside. We had a week where we canceled where it was snowing and there was snow all over the ground. And I took a walk for like an hour. I'm like, we're bundling up, we're putting on the boots I got for the winter time, and we're walking, and there was nobody outside. And I said, this is crazy. Like, we're not in Michigan here where it's, you know, a blizzard. Everybody needs to get outside. So I think I've adjusted to it great. I like wearing warm clothes too, so I don't mind the cool. I'd rather it be too cold than too hot. So I am just adoring the seasonal weather.
Love it, man. You want to get into the handicapping?
I kind of do. I just want to get Matt's sort of general thoughts. I know that Matt is a race caller that handicaps before he calls for races for sure. And so I know he's looked at these as well. You got a nice mix of older horses in this race, Matt, frankly, of horses that are even five and up, essentially. But, of course, you do have
– Are we talking about the Oklahoma Mile?
Yes.
Can we set it up?
You can.
All right, the Oklahoma Mile is the grade three Oklahoma Mile. By the way, it's 1 mile, just like the name would suggest, and like Matt just said. For four-year-olds and
surface, up – surface, though?
Is on the dirt.
Oh, okay.
And this race has had some history to it, man, even though it hadn't been run that long. Tom's Detat win this race.
Yep.
We had By My Standards right after that. Sazan came in second. I mean, there's been some runners in the Cincata River, Small Happy. So yeah, we've got a bunch of horses that have shown up in this. And this might be a grade three, but a lot of the horses in this race are thinking Breeders' Cup in the fall. So what do we got here, Louie?
Yeah, Matt, I was going to say Tom's Detat, one of my favorite horses the last 5-10 years, just because he discovered it so late in his running career, really put it together as an older horse. What does Matt look for in this race? Are you looking for a horse that's currently in form, or are you going to trust a horse off the layoff like Dennington?
I wouldn't trust a horse off a layoff in this race. I think Dennington will run well, but I think he's a type of horse that's beatable. Let's put it that way. I'm looking for a horse in a race like this with just really good recent form, or form that's suggesting he's going into the race the right way. This is a very competitive race. I think it's the most competitive stake of the day. The grade three Oaklawn Mile, and I actually picked Frosted Grace in this race. First start for the Mike Maker Barn. I think this horse loves Oaklawn, first of all. He's never finished worse than second in 5 starts in the local strip. He loves going a mile. First start for the Maker Stable, like I said, and that tells you right there that this horse moves to a good barn. And I think he's going to get a good stocking trip in here. I would say if Last Samurai runs his best race, he beats this field. He beats him probably relatively easily, but that's a question mark because he himself is coming off a layoff. He's an older horse. He's moving to a new trainer, Eddie Milligan Jr. So I think this is a very competitive race. I think there are a lot of ways to go, and I like a horse like Frosted Grace that's sneaky because he has back class earlier in the year. He finished behind Money Supply, who came back to win a grade three at the fairgrounds. So this horse has the class to win a race like this. So he's going to be the pick for me here, but it's a wide open race.
All right, man. Well, Lou, who'd you like?
Oh, I actually landed on Midnight Rising in here. So moving up in class here, has to drop the LASIK. So we'll see if this is the right spot for this horse. Did run in the Rushaway last year with no LASIK, ran really well at Turfway Park, actually. And so I'm wondering if getting back to that form, seems to really love the track. Ran, you know, not the fastest race last time, but I think going the two turns there under Emmanuel Esquivel, who we'll see up at Horseshoe in a couple weeks, I think we'll get a good trip, and I think he'll be one to beat. I have Matt's top pick in my second spot here. And so with Frosted Grace, I'm interested in Silver Prospector too, because I think Keith Asmussen's really coming into his own as a jockey, like really coming into his own. And I don't think Steve puts the horse in this place without real intent. So I'm really interested in those three. If you're looking for a longer shot in the race, man, I wonder what the three's in here for in Logical Myth. But that's a horse that has run well at the distance, ran right behind Silver Prospector in an optional claimer last time out. Has never won at Oaklawn, but the speed figures make sense, has been good at other places. If you need something to fill out, maybe a trifecta, superfecta, that'd be the horse I'd use.
We got our own exacta here because I like your top pick second. So we got our exacta box, the Louis Denny exacta box there.
Love it. Let's do it. All right, we might have to hit that one. All right, we're going to move on to race 10, which is the Matron Stakes. This is only the second running for this 6-furlong sprint for the females on the dirt. Last year, we saw Matarea and Wicked Halo duel. It's a pretty good race. So second rendition here. Matt, who did you like in this race?
Well, I picked the favorite, Zeitlos. I think that last time, her trip wasn't even that good of a trip. I mean, I thought she was a little bit too far back. She didn't break particularly fantastic. Not slow necessarily, but just sort of a half step, sort of way slower than some of the others. And Tyler Gaffleone rode her with a lot of confidence, had to move through between horses, and she ended up winning the race handily. I think there's more in the tank. I think she could get a better trip. And she can improve with a better trip. I think this is a tougher field, but I think Zeitlos is really getting into her own now. So I picked her. One runner, though, that I really think is interesting that I was going to pick on top, and she's my second pick, is Royal Spa.
Well, honestly, yeah.
But you know what? I don't want to spoil the fun. You can explain Royal Spa, Louis.
So wait a minute. So Zeitlos is 2-for-2 at Oaklawn, 4-for-6 at the distance, 6-furlong sprint. Who trained 6-furlong sprint, Steve? Who is it?
Steve.
Asmussen.
Yeah, darn right it is. Zeitlos on top for me, man. I love Royal Spa in this spot. Porto enough per se. With
did we turn it was no, no, back? Zach. He was back.
Zach did it. Ricardo, this is the kind of horse that in the American Beauty, I thought she was really good. Gets off the mud, gets back to dry go here. The workouts make sense. All of the time off, all of the Rudolph Brissett parts of this all make sense. And so I think she's got a serious shot here. I do think Daddy's Ruby coming in from the West Coast is going to have something to say as well, the 8 horse in this race. But no, I like Matt felt about the mile, I actually feel about this race. I think this is the most open, most difficult to cap on the card here. I think anyone from 5 through 8 can win this race, including the 3-to-1 Lilo here. Juan Hernandez in town to ride for the day, which is looking like a really good decision because I think they're not running on Saturday at Santa Anita. So he'll be in town. For Nacho Correas. And so interesting race, man. I think any of 5, 6, 7, 8 can win this race.
Who's your filly? Loses 3 and then wins a race. This is the trend. We're going to see it. 15-1. Let's go. Who's your filly? You're going to pull through.
Route our 2 show sprint. Pick. Route 2 sprint. Route 2 sprint.
My favorite angle in the game, route to sprint. Problem is she hasn't run in a little while.
Yeah,
so
it ain't gonna work. It's okay.
I think I made the joke earlier on text. I think she's trained by John Calipari. So,
should have gone to the draft.
Yeah, she should have gone to the draft. All right, now you've mentioned that the fantasy stakes is upgraded to grade 2. Everything we have still says grade 3.
It's great. It's a grade 2.
It's a grade 2, though?
It's a grade 2.
All right.
So. I don't know how that happened. Yeah. Something happened. Everything it says is a grade 3.
It's a grade 2. It's a grade 2. Yep.
Yeah. So, and by the way, fantasy stakes 100% should be a grade 2 when you look who's won this race. I mean, this is like the who's who of
750 purse, who's won it, et cetera. Yes, 100%.
There's no question that this is one of the best
Philly who races. Has won this race, Mike?
Swiss Skydiver won this race.
Who?
Swiss Skydiver.
Oh, okay. You ever heard of that? Did she ever win a Preakness or anything? Anything?
Didn't Rachel win this race?
Who?
I don't have it up in front of me.
It's a hell of a list already.
Rachel Alexander? Yeah, we'll just stop with those two.
She won this race going backwards.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, this is all – we get great fillies that come out of Oakland in general. Yeah. I mean, this is like the route, right? So, did Secret Oath win this race?
I don't know.
I don't
think so. I'm not sure. I'll find it. Yeah. But another good field here. So let's see, who do you have, Louie, in this one so Matt doesn't ruin your fun?
I like when Matt ruins my fun. I have a question mark next to the 6 horse in this race, and that is Body Ya for Tom Amos and Edgar Morales. And a lot of that is I really trust Tom Amos this time of year with fillies.
Okay.
With 3-year-old fillies. And I think she's actually set up in a way that she just went 2 turns. Down at Fairgrounds. He ships her up for this one. She was very comfortable, wins the race last time, is right there in second spot, and then just pulls away from, not a great field, last out of listed stakes down at Fairgrounds. But you're supposed to do that against lesser horses. I'm fascinated by her simply because I think she's going to be able to sit mid-pack in this race and make a move at the end. And I think you're going to get every bit of 10 or 11, 12 to 1 on it. And so I'm really fascinated by her coming into this one as well. I do think West Omaha is due to bounce and be better here for Brad Cox. I think he figured out what he had in Tarifa, moved her away from those races up to Oaklawn to run in the Honeybee. And now obviously here in the fantasy, to get her away from Tarifa, who then, by the way, came back and won again in the Fairgrounds Oaks. And so I think she's due to bounce. I really don't know what to do with Lemon Muffin at all. I mean, she breaks her maiden in the race last time. If she does that again, she wins again. I think it's pretty simple, actually. If she runs that race again, I think she wins again. And then Torpedo Anna's on the outside for Kenny McPeak. She's been off since the Goldenrod. I just don't know what to do with Kenny McPeak, so I always talk about it just in case it wins, so that I don't leave it out. But Matt, I'll throw to you, man. Do you like my longer shot here in Body Up?
No. I don't. I'm going to be frank with you, but I do agree that it's a very competitive race. I mean, Lemon Muffin is not necessarily reliable yet. She may just be a really nice router. I don't think it was a fluke, personally. She's been very consistent. She looked like she was just loving the extra round. She had her ears pricked. I mean, it was a big win. Yeah. Torpedo Anna is obviously very nice, but she's coming off a layoff, and she has a horrendous post position, and so does Lemon Muffin, for that matter. Now, they draw at least one more in, because Where My Ring's scratching. Where's My Ring? She is scratching. She has stayed home at Santa Anita. She's going to run in either the Santa Anita Oaks or the Gazelle at Aqueduct per A Source. And they are still weighing the options there. You know, you look at West Omaha, and she hasn't beat much, but when she's won really nice. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, you've got a lot of runners in here that there's definitely, you can make a pros and cons list for a lot of the main contenders. And that makes it for a very intriguing, interesting betting race. That said, I did pick West Omaha. I think, you know, her last race, she didn't get a good trip. She didn't break particularly great. She was between horses the whole way. She didn't like the kickback in her face. She didn't like being between horses. Now, there was no problem with the way she was ridden. It's just based on how the race unfolded, that's where she was, and she just wasn't really having it. And the fact of the matter is, the quarter pole, I thought she's going to run seventh, and she ran third, and she actually made up a little bit of ground when she was in the clear. So what I'm hoping for is that she breaks better today. She's a little bit more prominent. There's going to be some pace in here, and I hope she can get the type of trip where she's just stalking off the pace and can run like she did in the Silver Bullet day, where even though she got a good speed figure, she was wrapped up that day. So we didn't see the best from her last time, and I'm going to give her another shot. Remember, she was even money in the Honeybee. And I don't know, maybe she'll go off favorite just because she's a Brad Cox filly, but you're going to get a lot better than even money this time with that poor effort in mind.
There's a New York bred in the inside post in my main squeeze that I have no idea what to do with, Matt. Do you think she has a shot here? I think she does, but stepping out of stakes, you know, excuse me, out of state bred company there in New York to run an open company in a race of the level of the fantasy. Do you think she's got it on Saturday?
I think she's got a great shot to win this race. If she was running in a race like the Ashland, I would say no. If she was running in a race like the Santa Anita Oaks, probably no. But this is not, I mean, even Tarifa, she's probably not good enough to beat Tarifa when the Fairgrounds Oaks. But this is not the strongest three-year-old filly division type of race for Kentucky Oaks points, in my opinion. That doesn't mean it's not a good betting race. Doesn't mean there isn't quality or down the road, we're going to see a couple of these fillies really shine. Maybe Lemon Muffin could be the real deal, but I think Mike Makers really put her in a good spot to see, okay, do we just have a really solid New York bred here? Or do we have a filly that maybe we roll the dice and run against the best of the crop here? So she's won three in a row. We all talk about it. It's a cliche saying, but it's true. When the fillies get really good, they start getting really good and they start winning and getting confident. And we see that from her. She's been very well developed. And I like the fact that Flavian Pratt is aboard. That is a big time positive, because I am sure that he could have, for example, ridden West Omaha if he really wanted to, because he's riding Timberlake and he's riding a lot of Brad Cox horses this week. So the fact he's on the Maker trainee here, I think that's really a good endorsement.
I love that.
Mike,
I love,
angle,
I love that. Yeah. I love that jockey angle, because they like to win races.
Just a little bit. And $750,000 races are nice ones to win.
Yeah, I mean, and I do think there is something to be said. Like, I know that they've got commitments to other trainers and whatever, but when you get to these big boy races, they're going to choose who's going to give them the best chance.
Big girl races?
Yeah, big girl races.
How about that?
Yeah. There you go. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to give anybody a complex or anything.
Like got that. It. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I'm not a psychologist.
You're not? No?
No.
Okay.
Not today.
All right. Sorry, Matt. I'm so sorry you had to be here today.
You guys have so much fun. No problem. This is what it's about.
This is true. We do have a lot of fun. It's ridiculous. We are going to go on to the Arkansas Derby. This is the fourth time, I think,
okay,
where the Arkansas Derby is not just 3 weeks before the Derby, where they've kind of spread it out a little bit. You know, we had Angel of Empire win last year, Cyberknife win the year before. You know, I don't know. Like, what do we think about the Arkansas Derby? Like, its new placement, I guess, of where they've gone to.
I think in the modern game, these 5 and 6 week races are going to have even more. 5 and 6 weeks before the Derby are going to have even more importance as we go forward. That Louisiana Derby field. Look, I get it. You can say whatever you want about 3-0 fields. That was a good field, man, yeah, for this year. People are looking at these races as earlier spots to hit before they get to Kentucky. Yeah, I think in the future, especially, look, it's $1.5 million, number one. And number two, it's 5 weeks before the Derby. I think a lot of trainers are going to start using the Arkansas Derby as more of a path than they have previously.
Last Derby winner to win the Arkansas Derby, of course, was American Pharaoh, yeah, in 2015. And just an impressive.
That was one of the years where it was 5 weeks?
No, it was three.
Was it three?
Mm-hmm.
It was 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So that was
Arkansas
my point.
Derby used to be 3 weeks. Then they pushed it back a couple of years to four, and now it's five. And the reason it's five is because next week we are having the solar eclipse. So there's going to be just a madhouse of people here because Hot Springs is on the path of totality.
As is, well, just north of Louisville is, but yeah, we're pretty close to it as well.
Yeah. So there's a lot of, I mean, I know hotels have been booked here for a year and a half. They've been sold out on that weekend. It's going to be insane. So that's actually the reason we're running 5 weeks this year. I don't know if it'll go back to four next year, if we're going to say, what the heck, keep it at five. I don't know, but that's the reason we're doing five. But I would agree with you guys. I don't think trainers want to be running their horses 3 weeks before the Derby, especially nowadays. Right. I think they're trying to space it out a bit. So 4 weeks is no problem, obviously. 5 weeks, I'm sure a lot of people think that's really solid.
And the reason why Secret Oath did not win the fantasies because Secret Oath ran in the Arkansas Derby.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Good call. That's right.
Of course.
That was down in Oak Lawn, but just not. She came in third, actually. So
Matt, why is Liberal Arts going to win this race?
Because you're sleeping and it'd be a dream. That's why.
I'm actually giving him a hard time. Last time he was on this show, he picked him. So I'm just giving him a hard time.
I'm not used to talking smack like this. You guys are a bad influence over here.
Just because we're talking about ball deodorant when you came on.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
I mean, I remember one time I was on your show and you guys had your shirts off. I mean, it's like every time it's like, what are we going to get with you two whenever I come on here?
Gotta keep it fresh. Keep it fun.
You before we end, I'm going to run to my room and show you the hat that I'm wearing. That looks a little bit like Mike's on Derby Day. So.
Oh, how about that? Oh, I like that a lot. A little costume.
I'll wear the hat at the end of the show, but you folks have to wait until we finish our handicap, and then I'll surprise you.
All right.
Let's finish the handicap. Yeah. Let's go with Arkansas Derby, Matt.
Here's you know what, though? Liberal Arts wants distance. That's the thing about him. I'll say a lot of good things. And I met Robbie Medina, his trainer, the other day. Super nice guy. And learn from the Shug McGahee team. He was an assistant for Shug, so he's a good horseman, and you learn from a good horseman. What I like about Liberal Arts is this horse will want distance. I think his last race was totally just a, hey, let's get a run in, and he ran on for third, and he got some fitness out of that. So he's going to be ready this time around. I just am a little bit concerned that maybe he's sort of a grinder type. Maybe he's a horse that isn't going to be able to outkick the big three. So I went elsewhere, but Liberal Arts, I would say, is the wise guy horse in this race for sure.
Where is elsewhere for Matt Dinnerman?
Elsewhere is Mystic Dan.
Yeah.
He's a very interesting item because he won by 8 in the slop. And I'm a big fan of looking at horses that run well in the slop and saying, let's try to beat him over a fast track. Mm. Mutters can be mutters. Horses are slop freaks. Some of them, it happens. But you have to remember, if you look at his maiden race where he sprinted, he won by open lengths and got a 96 buyer. So that tells me that he doesn't necessarily need a wet track to run a freak race. And I like that Kenny McPeak didn't just wheel him back in the Rebel in 3 weeks. You know, he let him take some time off the big run, so he's not going to bounce. And I also think that he's a horse that has speed. He has more speed than he showed last time out. It was very encouraging to see him sit off the pace and run on and freak, really. But in a race where there's not as much pace, he has the ability to sit a lot closer if for example, Muth goes out there and tries to steal this thing. So I like Mystic Dan in this race. I think that he's a good horse. I think he is legit.
My gut tells me that Mystic Dan is going to hit the board in this race, and he's got the total makings of being the backside wise guy horse for Saturday in May.
Mystic Dan. That's a good joke, man. That's good. That's a good joke, man.
Everyone's going to be like, he won a Churchill on that sprint race.
Yeah.
Kenny McPeak.
You can hear it now.
You know, it is going to be like, man, if you see Mystic Dan, he's moving across the track really, really well. He's going to be the wise guy pick.
By the way, shout out Lance Gasaway. This is a homebred for that group. 10 grand they bred this horse. He's earned over $500,000 already.
So they're doing okay.
They're doing okay.
Yeah.
Now, horse of a lifetime already. Fantastic. So I think he's absolutely got a shot here. I want to be very clear when I pick Timberlake. But I still think that Mystic Dan has a really serious shot here. But Timberlake second off the layoff here. He's going to be third up for the Kentucky Derby. I think there's a chance that not only he wins on Saturday, he makes it not interesting on Saturday. And he's not the wise guy or the buzz horse.
You think he could be a favorite?
He's the favorite of the Kentucky Derby.
Wow.
Because you got
Flavio Mystic. Frank, so you're Frank saying Frank. If Mystic Dan wins the Arkansas Derby, he's the favorite in the Kentucky Derby.
I agree with that. I agree with that because he'll have one in the slop. He'll have one, especially if he can repeat 100 buyer. Good Lord. Mystic Dan will be 3-1.
I think your favorite's coming out of the Ford Derby. I don't know.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see.
We won't bother Matt for that one. He's going to be an Arkansas.
Yeah. You know who probably is not going to win the Arkansas Derby?
As my son.
He's got three chances. I don't like any of them. I do love you, Steve. Just remember
we
that.
Do love Steve.
Yeah.
I just had a conversation with Steve yesterday. It was electric. We were talking about all sorts of things.
Oh, he's out of his mind in the best way. Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
It's amazing that he knows. I mean, he's got it. I think he's somewhere in the 350 to 400 horses he's training. I mean, he knows all of them, and it's all up here. It's all in his head. Like, oh, yeah, like this horse in Sam Houston fits Oakland. Let's ship him and run him there. Like, just in it, like it just pops up in his head. I'm like, that's incredible.
If it's not one of our two horses, do you give Muth a real shot here?
Absolutely, I give him a real shot. I mean, I think that, let's just say this. He, in my opinion, he's not the best three-year-old that Baffert sent out here, meaning that he's beatable. Is he a good horse? Yes. There's hype around him because they purchased him for a boatload of money, $2 million. He obviously was the runner up in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He's a grade one winner. He won the American Pharaoh as a 2-year-old, but his numbers don't necessarily suggest that he's faster than Timberlake or Mystic Dan on his best day. They indicate that he's about around where they're at. And actually Mystic Dan ran a race last time suggesting Muth probably wouldn't have beat him unless he ran better. So I think from a pace scenario standpoint, he's got a good position. Because there's not an abundance of speed in terms of need the lead types of horses. But again, I think there are a couple like a Time for Truth, like a Mystic Dan that could go out there and maybe press them if they need to. So I think from a pace scenario standpoint, he makes a lot of sense. I think from a class perspective, he's solid enough to win a race like this. But I'm actually going to try to beat him in this race. I mean, I'm giving out a cross-country pick five ticket for our track feed, and I'm going to put Mystic Dan, I'm going to put Timberlake on there, and I'm going to try to beat Muth because I know he's going to be favored from a gambling standpoint. Because if you're gambling, and this is another thing, it's called gambling for a reason. So I'm taking a gamble that all he has to do is lose by a nose, and hopefully one of the other two win, and we move along in the cross-country pick five. And good horse, I respect him. But I don't think that he's a lock, and I don't think that he's necessarily that much faster than Timberlake or Mystic Dan. I think they're all pretty relatively evenly matched on their very best day.
All I know is that the good magic people are hoping that Muth wins this one and then wins the Preakness. They got Doornock wins the Derby, and then they get a match race in the Belmont between the two.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Well, 10 for
good good magic is just doing this the whole way to the breeding shed.
And then Lemon Muffin's going to win. Yeah. She's going to win the Kentucky Oaks and the Fantasy. She's going to run in the Preakness for Wayne, and then she's going to run in the Belmont. So
let's go. Love it. Let's do it.
Actually, I talked to a friend who was talking to Wayne, and he goes, just be prepared. You know, if this filly wins the Oaks, we're going to the Preakness. So just be prepared on that. He's got a plan. I love Wayne.
I love, man.
Dude, there's no one like him.
There's no one.
There's like no him. One like him in any sport, frankly.
Yeah.
He is a gamer. Incredible. He's running. He's he is not scared of anything. He is a sportsman. He is ready to run his horses, and he puts them out there, and he gives them a shot.
All right, are we gonna see this hat or what?
Yeah, give me 15 seconds. Put on some elevator music, and I'll be right back.
All right,
that sounds good.
I don't think you guys would be great at singing elevator music, but stand on.
Well, Matt Dinnerman's got jokes. I love this guy. Oh man, manscaped.com promo code horse racing, 20% off free shipping to your house. Mike and I are already fans, and we're gonna be. I mean, you're gonna be getting beard stuff. I'm gonna be getting in, man. That's great.
Your balls will thank you.
Here we go.
There it is. Oh.
All right, I'm a bowler. Style. I like that. Yo, get ready. I like it.
I look like Charlie Chaplin.
Are you going to be wearing cufflinks?
No clue. Someone just gave this to me for 2 days and said, you should wear it. I said, fine. I have to give it back to him by Saturday. But right. I did actually. We had the Oakland Chaplaincy. We had a live auction to support the backstretch workers and the folks who are being helped through that organization. And I was a winning bidder of a custom-made fedora that is coming straight from overseas with the finest quality, and you can't even find it in the store. So this is going to be my hat for the next couple days. But next year, gentlemen, next year, you're going to see my custom-made fedora in full fashion here in 2025.
Can we do something on this show right now?
What's that?
Tell Matt we're going to the Arkansas Derby next year.
I would love to do that.
Why don't we work our ass off to go to the Arkansas Derby
next year? I mean, it's usually far enough away from Derby Festival stuff where I can do it. Right. So I would love to do that.
Okay. Yeah. Matt, you've heard it here. We're saying it in front of everyone.
Okay.
That's the I'm race. Holding you to that. Never covered that race on this show.
I've never been to Oakland.
I'm holding you to that. Or you don't have to work hard at all and still show up. It's up to you.
I mean, we'll work for our minute. We'll do whatever you tell us to do, man. You know, Rachel puts us up to work up there.
I'll juggle rubber ducks behind Matt while he's calling the matron.
Yeah,
great.
Whatever.
we have too many of them up there. So got about 259, 260. I just got a cow one today. One of the security guards gave me a cow duck, so we're up to about 260. So
all right.
That's how I know Matt is fully in. The Hot Springs community, that security guards know about the ducks, and they're bringing gifts. That's it. He's all the way in. Yeah. Man, 3 Colts Handicap on Twitter, at Oakland Racing as well. Go find their stuff. Matt, man, we mean it when we say it. We're huge fans. We are beyond pumped that you get to call a grade one this weekend. Have a great call. Safe trips for all. Buddy, we'll see you soon.
Sounds good, guys. Yeah, have a fun weekend, and we'll be talking soon. Thanks for your support.
All right. Thanks, Matt. See you, man.
All right, man. Just the best.
He is. He's fantastic.
Just the best. You know what I used to say?
What did you used to say?
Yo, Del Mar, go get Matt Dinnerman.
Yep, San Diego I remember that. Guy.
Screw it. He doesn't need it. He's got Oakland.
Oh, he might be there for a while.
He's good. No, he's good. He's doing an awesome job. And what's awesome, really, is that people around the country are noticing, whether back in Southern California and different places, he's getting the shout-outs. But really, it was this show that discovered Matt Dinnerman first, and so we're doing the whole damn thing. Yeah, that's right.
It was him and Kornacki are the ones that we really raised to stardom.
Mostly Kornacki. Yeah, he's lucky. Yeah, rolled sleeves.
Jimmy Fallon said, hey, he should have him on my show this week. I said, Kornacki's a good guest.
Yeah, you should probably have Steve.
And that's how it went down.
There you go.
All right, let's go on to Gulfstream.
Yeah, let's talk a little Gulfstream.
A little Florida Derby. Gulfstream Oaks.
Wrap up the show here.
We're going to do the Gulfstream Park Oaks first. That's presented by FanDuel TV. $250,000, mile and a 16th on the dirt. Estimated start time is 4:40.
Allegedly.
This is Strana group here. All right. So Phillies, 3-year-olds. Are you going to do gooder on this race?
All of them. Next race.
You're just going to hit all. Is that it?
This race is brutal, dude. This is.
If
the Oaks winner comes out of this race, I'm done handicapping. I'm done.
You got to.
I don't understand anything. If the Kentucky Oaks winner's in this race, I don't understand.
So you don't think that Ways and Means should be as heavy as a favorite as she is?
No. Okay. So what you're relying on there is a horse that hasn't run since September.
Yep.
And I'm going to talk to Brian Nadeau tomorrow from Gulfstream Park on the 10 to noon show at 10:20. We will podcast that and put it up as part of our platform here. So if you're wanting to hear more about Gulfstream, I'll get into it with Brian tomorrow. That's what this field is. That a horse that's never gone two turns, that hasn't run since September, and has won a maiden race and nothing else, is the 8-5 favorite in this thing. That's what the Gulfstream Park Oaks is.
All right.
Now, she shows up like that, She dominates. She looks great. And we'll have a different conversation. But I don't know how she does it. I simply don't know how she does it. I have Gunsong on top, the 6-4-1. Johnny Velasquez, Mark Hennig is coming out of a win at a mile. Is going to need to do the two-turn thing. But she's a daughter of Gunrunner. So I'm very unworried about her getting two turns. And so I will lean on Gunsong, the 6 horse in the Florida Oaks. I also looked at the 5 into Champagne, who ran second behind Fiona's Magic in that Devona Dale, daughter of Into Mischief. I think the two turns will help really stretch her out. I do have Ways and Means in my ticket because I don't know what to do with this race. And then I have the 9 and the 8 in here, Scalable and Fiona's Magic. Fiona's Magic, obviously the winner of the Devona Dale, has a real shot with any type of hitting the board here to be in the Kentucky Oaks starting gate. So I'm sure they're shooting for that. A Florida bred daughter of St. Patrick's Day, $3,500 breeding fee. Chance to start the Kentucky Oaks. That's awesome. And then Scalable's in here for Todd Pletcher. And I just include Todd Pletcher horses in my tickets at Gulfstream. So that's why I have the 9 horse in my ticket as well.
All right. I misspoke earlier. I said the favorites coming out of the Florida Derby. I can't imagine the favorites going to come out of the Bluegrass Stakes. But maybe the favorite.
Oh, the Bluegrass is loaded. Loaded.
So this goes back to what we were just talking about, Louie, because you're 5 weeks so out right now. You've got horses like Doorknock that are shipping up to Kentucky. Go ahead. Is that the thing? Is it go ahead and go in the 4 weeks rest and you just go ahead and get up in Kentucky? I mean, what do you think the reason why everyone's loading up on the Bluegrass Stakes? I mean, it's not been a good indicator of Derby performance.
I think for the people that are doing it, it's largely a logistics thing. So like a Chad Brown has a Lexington base, so he could just go do that.
And we've talked about that a long time ago, but we've kind of gotten away from like it's not shipping horses is not as easy as it was.
It is not. It's a different world right now. Yeah. And being able to bus from Lexington to Churchill is really attractive right now. It just is. It's a weird thing to say because usually, you know, when you get to this level, when you talk Derby, when you talk Oaks, you talk races like that. The ownership is usually not. $3,500 breeding fees. No offense, and I hope they win the damn race. But usually that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about people with, I don't want to call it endless funds, but they're in this because they can spend the money on
sure.
it. Right? And so I think some of that's just gone away, man. It's gotten so difficult, and the horse is just, do you want a $5 million athlete in a box?
Not that long.
No. And so I just think some of them don't want to deal with that stuff. I think that's what we're saying.
So Eddie Canilli, by the way, just want to shout out to their tragic event that happened. If you didn't hear, they had a horse trailer that basically kind of went off the side of the interstate and had a bunch of horses die. Did they end up with 4? Is that correct? Yeah. Or 3? Yeah. So just thoughts and prayers to them. I know that was a really awful loss. Talking about just shipping horses in general.
Yeah. Right.
Let's go on to that Florida Derby, let's get your thoughts. This is one of the. This is one of the more meaningful.
No question. This is, if you want to know who's going to win the Kentucky Derby, you got to pay attention to the Florida Derby. Obviously, last year, the second place finisher wins the damn thing in Mage, right? And, you know, just going back, this is a terrific predictor. Not in this race in general. I mean, White of Barrio wins this race. He doesn't win the Kentucky Derby, but he's turned into a really fine thoroughbred, right? So it's a race that over and over has given us really, really great contenders. And I talked about a horse earlier that's in this race, and I did put him on top. And Hades on top here, man, because I don't know where the closing speed's coming from.
Okay.
And Paco Lopez is really good at walking his horses on the front and getting the trip that he wants. The other reason is this. I interviewed Tyler Gaffalion for the Kentucky Racing Spotlight 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, right after he had ridden Domestic Product to a win in the Tampa Bay Derby. Guess who finished second in that Holy Bowl at Gulfstream Park last time out? It was Domestic Product.
Okay.
Hades beat him by open lengths. If he runs at all like that again, I think he's got a legitimate shot to win the Florida Derby. And because of what you've talked about, Mike, trying to figure out what that pace scenario is actually going to be in the Kentucky Derby, I think there's a legitimate chance that a horse like Hades is out front, stays out front. And so he's a really interesting horse to me. And the connections there, by the way, are also really interesting because he's coming out of the Orsenio barn. It's not like, you know, I think the guys run 2 great at stakes ever.
Yeah.
And one of them was Hades winning.
Yeah.
So this is not, you know, not what we think of usually with this. He's gelded as a 3-year-old already. Settle down, Zach. And so like, you know, just, I, you know, it's just an unusual story. And I'm not rooting for it, but I'm also kind of rooting for it.
You know, all right. Well, I mean, Hades undefeated so far, by the way, right? That's not lost.
Also fits that mold as well. Likes to get out front, stay out front.
Yeah.
When he gets challenged, he
got that one race. We got 2 races in actually as a 2-year-old. Yeah. has the one start so far, and that,
and they have set it up, the Orsino Barn, they have set it up that it'll be a third up in the Kentucky Derby if he gets there. That's a fantastic route. It's just really well done. You're watching these guys really orchestrate their trips to the first Saturday. Man, they're doing a great job of it. Conquest Warriors in here, finally getting to see the son of City of Light that they are really high on. $1 million purchase by Cortland Farm. And so obviously they think a ton of this horse. The City of Light people, by the way, praying to God this horse wins the Florida Derby. And coming out of Gulfstream one last time out, has already run the mile and an eighth with an 84 buyer. That could probably win this race. Probably. What do we do with Fierceness?
I mean, I think that's what's going to be the most interesting thing to watch here. Was the last race a fluke? That he just didn't fire? Is Fierceness real?
Was he great once?
And that could be it too. Like I think we're gonna get some answers on Fierceness, right? Some clarity.
But all of those connections make sense too. And by the way, City of Light as well for him with Fierceness. But this is the Rapoli stable. They won this race last year.
They did.
Right? They had the morning line favorite for the Kentucky Derby. This is Todd Pletcher. This is John Velasquez. This is the royalty of the sport. And so if he's going to get it going, this is the race for him to get it going. Otherwise, do you even run him back in the Preakness if he doesn't show in this? Because what a waste of time to go to Baltimore with this horse. I mean, we're looking literally, I don't want to, boy, it's a heavy thing to say, like make or break, but like he's got to show it on Saturday or this just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And it's too bad because frankly, we were there. That Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
He looked great, man.
Holy, I'm just going to cuss. Holy shit. It was a holy shit moment.
We're now explicit.
Took an hour and 1 minute. Yeah. But no, but I mean, like it was a true holy shit. It really was. I mean, he tore up that track. Usually, by the way, you run well at Santa Anita, you run well at Churchill.
Yeah.
Right? As a three-year-old, especially. Same thing with the Florida Derby. So hopefully we'll see it from him. I would love it if he ran really well, if we get a really great run from Timberlake. I would love having some legitimate stars finally come to the top here. Because I feel like in this three-year-old season, we just haven't gotten that.
Yeah, if you can throw a blanket over those horses, it would be a fantastic finish and get some buzz going into. Yeah,
I like Who else did I want to mention here? I'm gonna go ahead. By the way, I'm just gonna pick Hades in this race.
Yeah, I mean, I think post position wise too, that makes a lot of sense. And
cool story here. By the way, I'll have an over 30 minute conversation tomorrow on the Kentucky Racing Spotlight with Kevin Kirstein from Churchill Downs, updating things going on all over the Kentucky circuit. Obviously, Churchill has three of the tracks and making some changes at Ellis that I really like.
Oh yeah,
talking about Jose Ortiz moving his tack here, that kind of stuff. Really interesting stuff going on. Ladombro is trained by Eniel Cordero. He's a 20-year-old trainer from Puerto Rico.
That is awesome.
And Kevin asked him, like, are you thinking about the Derby? He's like, yeah, it's all I've ever thought about.
Yeah.
And whenever I start to forget what the Derby means to people, you hear stories like Eniel Cordero, excuse me. And growing up outside of San Juan and always wanting to win the Kentucky Derby reminds you of what this race is and why we do these shows every week. Throughout the spring, I'm still talking about the Remsen from December because I think it's a good predictor for the Kentucky Derby. Cool story. Hope his horse hits the board because he got second place points in the Fountain of Youth. If he can get third, second place points in the Florida Derby, that dude's making the trip to Louisville, and that's awesome.
That's fantastic. All right, man. You got anything else for us today?
I don't. Again, we'll have Brian Nadeau on Gulfstream Park. We'll do that tomorrow. Thanks to Matt Dinnerman. I know you feel the same way.
Love the guy, man.
Yeah, that's just a good dude who's doing it the right way and is in a great job. And I'm so glad we're friends with Matt Durham. It's great.
We're going to pay the tab. We're going to get out here. Don't forget to trim your balls and go Reds.
We get music.
I think Zach's asleep.
What about music?